Mrs. Sherwood. Good job. That kind of lines up with, of course, the message tonight. You know, it's kind of funny because people submit and, of course, practice their songs long before they know what I'm going to preach. And so it's the Lord just lining things up. Go back, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 22. Look at verse 1, Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 1. The Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. One of the things that you ought to be very concerned about in your life as a Christian is your testimony. Your testimony. You always should make sure that that is one of the highest things in your priorities of living, is to keep your testimony the way it should be. Now, first you have to establish a testimony, and then after that you have to work on maintaining a testimony, but it's always good to work on that testimony. Somebody says that our lives as Christians are sometimes the only Bible that people will ever read. Well, doesn't that stand up with what the Bible talks about you as being an epistle? The Bible says, Paul speaking, that you are our epistle written and read by all men. So people are reading you, they're watching you, they're seeing, okay, is this a way a Christian should behave? Is this a way a Christian should talk? Is this a way a Christian should act? And so our testimony is very, very important. You know, somebody said this, that your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks, your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You say that again. No way. But what it's talking about is your walk is very, very important, more important than just your talk. Somebody gave the definition of a testimony. It is that which is the estimation of one's spiritual character calculated by those who observe him or her best. And so when it comes to your testimony, the people that know you the best can give a good observation to others about your testimony. In the Bible, you'll see several people had testimonies that God, by way of the Holy Spirit, did bear witness. There was Cornelius. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 2, says a devout man, one that feared God with all his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. The Bible also describes him this way in the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 22, where the Bible says, and they said, Cornelius, a centurion, says a just man, one that feared God, had a good report among all the nation of the Jews. And so you'll see that Cornelius was known as a devout man. What is that? That's a testimony. You know that Cornelius was known as a just man that feared God, had a good report among all the nation of the Jews. What is that? That's called a testimony. You'll see that, of course, there's Naaman in the Bible. You know the story of Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, where the Bible says, now Naaman, a captain of the host of the king of Syria, the Bible says was a great, now watch it now, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance, it says, unto Syria. And the Bible says that he was a mighty man of valor. Listen to it now. But he was a leper. All right? So here was a man that was a leper, but you see some things about this one that's called Naaman. He was somebody that was a soldier. He was somebody that was honorable. He was somebody, if you would please, that was a mighty man of valor. And yet, he was a leper. So that shows me that you can have, yes, even some physical handicaps, or you may have some physical shortcomings, but you can still have a testimony. What about Joseph of Arimathea? Joseph of Arimathea, you read about him in the book of Mark chapter 15, verse 43, where the Bible says, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor. The Bible says, which also waited on the kingdom of God, it says, came and went, it says, in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. In the book of Luke chapter 23 and verse 50, the Bible says, and behold, he says, says there was a man by the name of Joseph. It says a counselor, and he was a good man and just. All right, so here you see Joseph of Arimathea. He loved God so much, loved his son so much, that he went into that which was the very council, the very presence of Pilate, and begged for that which is the body of Christ. Okay, you read about him and you say, man, that is a good testimony. So how is it tonight that you and I can have a good testimony? What is it that we can do tonight to be able to take that testimony to the next level? What is it that we can do tonight to be able to enhance our testimony as believers? What is it that we can do tonight to be able to make our testimony shine brighter than it's ever shined before? Let me give you some statements tonight. Statement number one, shining ambassadors for Christ. Shining ambassadors for Christ. Can I tell you that that's what we ought to be? We ought to be shining ambassadors for Christ, higher than any other ambassador. Oh, there are those that are ambassadors that represent foreign countries that come into our country. There are those that represent our country that goes into foreign countries. But can I tell you, when you're an ambassador for Christ, you ought to shine better than all of them put together. Here's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's or Christ's stead. It says, be reconciled to God. And so he says, you are my ambassador. We're representing a foreign king and a foreign country. Our country is heaven. Our king is Jesus. All right? So we're supposed to represent him well. So how do we do that? We're supposed to shine. We're supposed to shine. Keep your testimony in such a way that nobody looks at you and says, I'm not going to get saved, because if you represent the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, and you represent heaven, let me just tell you, you don't represent him well, so therefore, I'm not going to get saved. Okay? We need to be a shining testimony. Statement number two, we need to be a spark of light in a dark world. A spark of light. Isn't it neat to watch when some people go through devastating times, how they still smile? Isn't it something that you can come in from a world that is giving you lots of pressure and you still sing to the glory of God in church? Isn't it good to be able to walk around and shake hands and realize that somebody might be having it worse than you do, but they're still making it? Isn't it something to be able to see people, yes, people, that go into the hospital? I remember years ago, we had a lady that was in the hospital, and I stopped off to see her, and her question was this, preacher, what are you doing here? So I came by to see you. She said, you don't need to see me. I'm in God's hands. You should be out telling others about Jesus Christ. And I said, well, I appreciate that, but can I at least pray for you? Would that be okay? She said, well, pray quick. And go. All right? Now, wait a minute. What was she? She was a spark in a dark world. The nurse came in. I said, ma'am, I'd like to give you one of these, tell you a little bit about our church, introduce you to the Savior of the world. She said, I've already been saved. I said, how long you been saved? She said, about a day. Oh, really? She said, yeah, that woman in that bed told me how to be saved. No way. What was that? A spark. A spark. You know, anybody can be a spark in a dark world if you let God use you. Here's what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says that you're the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And so the Bible talks about how you and I are supposed to be that spark. Now, you can be a spark if you want to. And you can walk in a room and be a spark. You can walk in a room and all of a sudden now the light comes on. You know, isn't it something to be able to see in that which is the darkness? I don't know about you, but I think it's fascinating. I still am fascinated by the cell phones. You know, never in my day did I think you'd ever have a phone that would take a picture. To me, I think that's just awesome. And you can take a movie with it. Nah, that's awesome. But it has a flashlight. Remember, the first time I figured out it had a flashlight, I got it on somehow, couldn't figure out how to get it off. Now, that was years ago when I was uneducated. But can I tell you that at night, sometimes I'd use that flashlight. Yeah, it's easier. It's right there. And can I tell you this? When the light comes on, you're able to see things that you were not able to see before. You know how to walk. You know how to be able to get from one destination to another. And by the way, people in this world, they don't know how to get from one destination to another. They need somebody to be the light. Somebody that's going to say, no, walk this way. This is the direction you're supposed to go. And by the way, you can help them down at the workplace. You can help them when you go and visit the barber or the beautician. You can go and be able to help somebody at a grocery mart. You can help them to be able to see the light. Now, can I say, how is it that we can have a good testimony? Well, shining as ambassadors for Christ, a spark of light in that which is a dark world. Statement number next. Think about this. Speaks volumes to a lost world. You know, the Bible talks about that all the goodness that Christ did during his earthly ministry, the volumes of the books could not contain it all. That's a lot of goodness. You know, how much goodness are we doing? What is it that we could do to be able to help someone? You know, it's a dog eat dog world. Everybody seems to be out for themselves. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about what I care about. It's all about my agenda. What about God's agenda? What about something that God wants to do? You know, here's what we see. John chapter 13, verse 35, the Bible says, all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one for another. Oh, wait a minute, having love one for another, that doesn't talk about arguing or disagreeing, gossiping, tearing down, just having love for one another. You know, church ought to be a place where everybody feels welcome and everybody feels like they are accepted. Church ought to be a place where you can come and the pressure's off because of the fact you have entered into a place where God is the focus. The Word of God is the focus. Where doing right is that which is focused on. So here's what we understand. Okay, there should be sparks, if you would please, volumes to a lost world. Sparks, just volumes of sparks. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You ever see one of these services where all of a sudden people, they say, take out your cell phone. Turn on your light. And you look out there and it's dark and everybody's got their cell phones on and they're holding them up. What is that? That's a little spark there, a little spark there, a little spark there, a little spark there. But you can tell where they are because of that light. People can tell where you are because of the light that you shine. You know, even we live out in the country and there's no lights out there. There is no city lights out there. When you drive out there late at night, can I tell you, you have entered into utter darkness. You can walk outside and you can see the stars. Yes, I'm telling you, there are stars in the sky at night. You can walk outside, you can see the stars and you can see the moon, stuff like that. But can I tell you, when you walk outside, if you're not careful, if you don't turn on some type of light, you're going to think that you've been cast out into other darkness because there is no street lights. There's nothing to remind you of humanity. You're just out there, almost on an island by yourself. Now, can I tell you, when you feel like that you're on an island by yourself, then you be sure to show the light so that somebody knows that you exist. Let somebody see. We ate together today. Some of the family came and ate with us, and we sat around the table, and we prayed. We prayed before we cut the bread. Then we cut the bread, we ate the bread, and then we ate a salad. And then all of a sudden, they brought the meal. And then somebody spoke up and said, well, don't we need to pray again? Now, can I tell you this? It would be far better to do it too many times than not enough. Hello? What's that called? Shining the light. Shining the light. Oh, come on, folks. When you walk into a room, how is it when you leave? Do people say, I was sure glad that that person was here. Man, I'll tell you what, they really helped me. Or do they look at you and say, well, I'll tell you what, I am so glad that they left. Man, I could just feel the energy drawn out of me when they stepped into the room. And I'm so glad that they stepped out of the room. You know, now, you listen to me. Sometimes you have to work on that stuff. You do. You have to decide who you're going to be every second of the day. You know, Paul, as I remind you, according to what we saw this morning, Paul decided that he was going to die daily. That's something he decided to do. You think about different people that you see in the scriptures, if you will. People, if you would, that left, if you would, a great testimony. How did they do that? They decided to shine when others won. They decided to be a spark when others won. They decided that they were going to speak up. Even a child can speak up. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11, the Bible says, even a child is known by his doings. That's an individual event plus an individual event plus an individual event, a doing plus a doing equals doings. So a child is known by their doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. So even a child can be that spark. Even that child can bring that light. You ever do this? You ever have a child? Maybe a grandchild? Maybe somebody else's child? And all of a sudden they walk in, and the spark comes. My grandkids do not know me most of the time as Papa. They don't know me as that. They know me as Candy. So my nickname is not Papa. My nickname is Candy. They come walking in my office, and I watch them as they grow a little bit older. They come walking in my office, and first thing they say is, Candy? Candy? You know why? Because they're wanting, now as they get a little bit older, they recognize I do live. And then they say, Papa, Candy. So it goes from me being called Candy to now I've got a last name, Papa Candy. But can I say this tonight? You know, there's that little spark that they have. That little spark that they have. When I watch your kids that's in the academy, there's that little spark that they have. You got to be careful not to put out their spark. Amen. As a dad and as a mom, as your child is being introduced to Bible truth, as your child is beginning to embrace how they should be as a Christian, you got to be careful not to pour water on that. Amen. Be careful to help them to be able to enjoy being that child at that age. Be careful not to grow your teenager up too quick and let them enjoy the teenage years. Help them to be able to, grow up and become an adult and give them adult responsibilities, but also recognize their age. Let them also enjoy being the age that they are. Here's what we understand, that we can be a good testimony by shining, by having a spark in darkness, by speaking, if you would please, volumes to a lost world, and by all of us doing that together, there will be volumes. Statement number four, sometimes you can be a testimony even when you have shattered dreams, and shattered dreams can control us. Listen to this, if you will, again, using that which is Naaman. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, now Naaman, listen to it very carefully as I read. The Bible says, captain of the host of the king of Syria. The Bible says, a great man with his master. He's a great man. Honorable. He's honorable. The Bible says, because by him, it says the Lord, it was only by him, didn't say him and somebody else. The Bible says, by him, it says, the Lord had given deliverance, it says, unto Syria. The Bible says he was also a mighty man of valor. Then it says these little words, but he was a leper. So he had all these things going for him, but he still was a leper. You could see the peeling skin. I remember preaching in a leper colony. I remember going from bedside to bedside, and these lepers were laying in these beds, and you would see where their toes had rotten off. You can look in their faces, and you would see where a portion of their nose was missing. Maybe a portion of their mouth had rotten off. And to be honest with you, It was almost painful to look at. But they also needed the gospel. I'd be careful, but I'd sit on the edge of their bed, and I made sure we cleaned up real good afterwards, but I'd sit on the edge of their bed, and I'd witness to them, and I'd give them the gospel. And my countless of them bowed their hearts, understanding who Christ was, and received Christ as Savior. Now, can I tell you something? God used the Word of God in their life, just like God used the Word of God in his life. And may I say tonight that you can have shattered dreams, but you just be careful to still shine. You still be careful to have that good testimony. Then statement number next, you know, stupid actions can ruin your testimony. Stupid actions can ruin our testimony. You ever see somebody do stupid stuff? We call it hooked on stupid. You ever see somebody do stupid stuff? Worse, you ever see somebody do stupid stuff again and again and again? If you speed and you get a ticket, should that not warn you not to speed again? Rebecca was here. I told her about it this morning. Of course, she is dating, and they're becoming quite serious. And so we got to spend time, and not the only time, but other times as well, with Brett. Well, Brett's a state trooper. And she's dating Brett, and they're very serious. And Brett went out soul winning with me. And, of course, we've done many other things ministry-wise together already. And we're out soul winning. And he got introduced to the dogs, as I said last week, of Texas. And the little dogs, he said, everything truly, Pastor, is bigger in Texas because they're little dogs, but they sure do bark loud. And we was out soul winning and talking to people about Christ. And he said, boy, he said, let's trade some stories. You want to? And so we're in the car, and we're driving to meet up with the soul winning team. And he said, let me tell you some of the stupidest things that's ever happened in me being a state trooper. And he said, I'd tell you some of, and he's been a state trooper for 7 years. He's got a lot of stories. But did you know a lot of the stuff that he shared was people just not thinking? People doing dumb things. You know, when we do dumb things, it will come back to haunt us. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about that the definition of a fool. Let me tell you, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Well, that's not smart. That's not wise. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23, the Bible says, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. So a fool is somebody who likes to do mischief over and over again. God says that's foolishness. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11, the Bible says, a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11, the Bible says, the fool uttereth all his mind. You imagine that? So the fool gets down and he just begins to talk and you can't shut him up and he just tells you everything. Proverbs, if you will, chapter 29, verse 11. Then in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says that the fool walketh in darkness. We have to be careful. You know, the saddest story that you'll read about somebody that was a mighty man, matter of fact, King David said that he was a mighty man, was Abner. The Bible says that David recognized him as a mighty man of valor. You know why? Because when Abner would go into a fight, Abner would win. He was a mighty man of valor. There was not a fight that Abner did enter into that it came out bad. He's a mighty man of valor. But the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 32 through 34, David is now preaching the funeral of Abner. By the way, the word Abner means this, enlightened one. Enlightened one. If you do a study on his name, it's enlightened one. You know why? Because he hung around truth. Because he hung around truth, he became enlightened. Wait, he was the enlightened one. David now is presiding, King David, over the funeral service of Abner. And he makes this statement, Abner died as a fool dieth. He talks about how he was not in feathers. In other words, he wasn't in chains. There was nothing holding him back to make right decisions. But yet Abner decided to make some wrong decisions. He started to run with the one that was once his enemy. And then he wound up getting killed because he was outside of Hebron. The word Hebron, if you'll do a word study on that, means the assembly. So in other words, here's a man that just got out of church and started running wild to do whatever he wanted to do, almost like the prodigal son, just going wild. And yet the Bible says that he was caught in his wildness and his life was taken. Can I tell you this tonight? Can I say that stupid actions can ruin your testimony? I've seen people that they say they're Christians, but they drink liquor. I see people that say they're Christians, but they smoke weed. Well, it's quiet. I hope you're not one of them. I see people that say that they're Christians, but they're listening to worldly music and watching worldly stuff. I see people that say that they're Christians, but they're always losing their temper and getting mad. Well, I see people say they're Christians, but man, I tell you what, they got a mouth that's incredibly rude, crude, and socially unacceptable with curse words attached. Now, can I tell you, we have to be careful to protect our testimony. Protect our testimony. By the way, just because you think it doesn't mean it's appropriate to say it. I would give you to raise your hand, but I don't want to get you in trouble. About how many of you husbands had said things that you wish you never would have? Or how many of you wives said things that you wish you never would have? Hello? Now, with the husbands, a lot of times it's the pride of, yeah, I deserve the right to say that. But when your wife says something, it's totally different. Now, can I say this? Can I say that sometimes stupid actions will ruin our testimony? Keep your testimony in front of your wife. Keep your testimony in front of your husband. Keep your testimony in front of your children. Children, keep your testimony in front of your parents. Keep your testimony in front of your friends. Let them see that you're a Christian through and through, and you're not putting on some game face just to show up at church, but man, you're right with God, and you're trying to serve God even when you're out of church among your friends. You know, just because you work in a secular job doesn't mean you have to listen to all the dirty jokes. You know, I was preaching over in Nigeria. I never will forget it. I was preaching in Nigeria. I was sitting in the back seat. I was one of the keynote speakers, and I was sitting in the back seat, and one of the fellows that was preaching with me that night, all of a sudden he told a dirty joke. And he's a preacher, told a dirty joke to the other guy up front. And they both laughed, and they looked at me. And they said, "What's wrong with you, Brother Wells? Didn't you think it was funny?" I said, "Well, that might have been funny to a lost person, but I'm a saved person. And I think it's a shame that you said that. I can't imagine the power of God resting on you tonight. If I were you, I don't think I'd preach. I think I'd clean my mind out first." Can I tell you, it got quiet in the car? Now, can I tell you, we did have a good moving of the Holy Spirit that night, but when that dear brother got up to preach, there wasn't much moving. You've got to be very, very careful to keep your testimony. Don't ruin your testimony because of stupidity. Don't go to the bar to drink milk. You've heard that, right? Don't ruin your testimony. You be that right type of testimony. Then lastly, I'll give you this. You can sharpen a dulled testimony. It can be done. You can be able to sharpen a testimony that's dull. Sharpen a dull testimony. Hey, it can be done. Sharpen it. Abraham Lincoln said, "If I'm going to cut down a tree, I'm going to spend the first hour sharpening my axe." He had a pretty good point. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this as a quote. He said, "Never speak one word until you thought about that word twice." Pretty good point. You know, you and I, we need to be people that will decide that we're going to have a good testimony. And you can sharpen it if it's dulled. You can sharpen it. One of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life when you get backslidden is to decide you're going to put on spirituality and live right. That's hard. You say, why? Because you still have that arm of the flesh. And that arm of the flesh, though it will fail you every single time, it is harder, I do believe this, it is harder for somebody that's been right with God that gets backslidden than somebody that is then backslidden. And finally, they understand for the first time what it is to be right with God. It's just harder because you get used to the groove. Oh, come on. You remember the time when you read the Bible and it meant something to you? I'm not just talking about reading the Bible. I'm talking about you read the Bible so much that it read you and it meant something to you. You remember the time when you used to come to church and you enjoyed it? You remember that? You remember when you couldn't wait to come to church and you couldn't wait for it to start? Now you have to make yourself come to church. Make yourself pay attention because your mind drifts. You remember that? May I say tonight, you have to sharpen, spend time sharpening that dull testimony. It can be done. I'll read you one last verse and I'm done. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7, the Bible says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. So God said, I'll do this. I'll preserve the name of the righteous. I'll preserve that. He said, but that name that is the name of the unjust, the name of the wicked, he said, it'll just rot. I don't know about you. I spoke about legacy this morning. I hope you're preserving something. I do. I hope that one day when somebody walks past you lying in state, that they'll be able to walk by and say, wow, let me tell you, that's the person led me to Christ. Wow, let me tell you, that's the person taught me how to pray. Wow, let me tell you, that's the person showed me a Bible principle. Wow, that's the person's life that I've tried to follow because of the testimony. Because of the testimony. So if it's just you in a room surrounded by lost people, what would they say? What would they say? A man was on a cart down in San Francisco. You know the carts that go through the trains, if you will, and down in San Francisco. And the guy that was, of course, receiving the money, all of a sudden gave him back change. Gave him back 25 cents too much. This guy was a pastor, and he sat in the back of that cart. And you know, it's going up and down the hills and whatnot. And he thought, well, you know, it's only 25 cents. He's not going to miss it. It's no big deal. But as he was getting off of that train cart, he looked at the guy that was the one that was driving it, and he said, well, I need to give you this. He said, you paid me 25 cents too much. He said, I know it's no big deal, but I need to give it back to you. And here's what that conductor, if you want to call him that, the guy that drove the train cart said, You know, Pastor, I've watched you get on this cart many, many times. You've invited me to church many, many times. I just wanted to give you 25 cents more to see if you would be honest. He said, I'll come to your church now. You know, people are watching. People are watching. Remember one time we was out preaching in the years of evangelism, and we pulled into a gas station, and lo and behold, there's a $100 bill right there. By the way, that's more than 25 cents. There's a $100 bill right there. One of my children picked it up and went to Mom and said, Mom, look what I found. And Sylvia looked at me and said, well, what do you think we ought to do? And we began to talk about it a little bit, and we decided that the child should go turn it in. I mean, it might be somebody else's money that they needed for groceries. We didn't know. You remember that story, Jared? Took that $100 bill. I don't know if it was you or one of the other boys, but you remember the story? Yeah, and took it back into the gas station. And, boy, the person in the gas station said, thank you very much. I don't know what they did with it. They probably went and ate cheeseburgers with it. I don't know. But we did our part. We did our part. And sometimes it just pays to be honest, because you just don't know who's watching. And honesty will go a whole lot further than not being honest. Can I tell you, your testimony is important. Make sure that you protect your testimony in your own home, with your own relatives and loved ones, with those that you work with those that work for you, and those that live around you, with those that you come into contact with on a daily basis. Keep your testimony strong.